Welcome to Audio Syncratica. This is Luis, and I mean, that's not Brian, obviously. Are you Brian? You're definitely not Brian. What do you mean you could be? Like, are you, like, is your identity based off of what other people think you are?
That is now my new identity. I am Brian.
You're like one of those people like, hey, look, I am whoever you want me to be, dude. Like, what? You need me to be your superhero? Holla at your boy. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. Hey, this is Mike Torres. Or, dude, I said that real angle. Mike Torres. There we go. So, how do we know each other?
Oh, man. I believe we go way back in the Stone Age of, let's say, post-high school? High school?
Post-high school. That I forgot about high school already. Dude, ask me when I graduated. Actually, don't. I'll tell you. I don't know.
Same
let's
here.
Just go ahead and save all that fucking fluff. How about this? Let's keep it more into modern times. Wow, what the fuck am I saying? I don't know. What are you doing now these days? Like, what do you do now? We know each other from high school, obviously. So go ahead.
Yes. So I mean, ever since then, really, it's what the kids call these days. I'm just vibing. You know, it's your typical millennial, just, you know, trying to make it the best they can with all the shit that's been going on in the world. You know, it's completely on fire, or at least it seems that way.
Are we millennials?
I think so. I would say, wouldn't you say? I think we fall into that pool.
I feel like I ask myself this question a lot, but I just never care about the answer enough. So I just really don't care. It's like, I really don't care. I mean, I don't know. I was born in 89. I know in the Japanese calendar, and I looked this up because a friend of mine, Evie, and if you want, we're actually going to have, me and her are going to have a podcast tomorrow. I don't know when this is going to be recorded, but look for that in the future if you know who that is. You probably don't, because you're not a part of my life. Mm. Not you. Anybody else listening? Well, you know what? You either, because I don't think, anyways, what the fuck am I saying? Nope. Hi, this is Audio Syncratica. Just plugging my shit. Welcome. For no reason. Dude, it's just not something I've really cared about as far as like millennial, but if you were to look it up in the Japanese calendar, were you born in 89?
No, I was born in 91.
91? No, that still counts. I think it's at least up to 96. We're part of the Showa era.
Showa.
Yeah. Ask me why I even looked it up.
How did you even come across this information?
Because I want this cool dragon tattoo on the back of, and not because of girl with the dragon tattoo. It's a guy with the dragon tattoo. And it's from, I was about to say my podcast name again. It's from Yakuza.
Trying to hit that word count.
Yakuza. Have you played that game on PlayStation? Yeah.
I have not.
I like saying
Yakuza.
Okay. So this guy. You know.
Okay.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, no, I was okay. I got you.
Like this really cool, like Japanese dude. Well, he has like this really badass dragon tattoo, and I sent it to a friend of mine, and she was just like, "Hey, what is that symbol that dragon's carrying?" And I had no idea. I didn't even ask it myself, and it turns out it's like 1968 or 19. I don't know. It's some year where this guy was born, and I was just like, I was about to get it tattooed with that fucking symbol, and I was just like, you know what, let me change it to like my birth year, and then what is it called, that's when I looked it up, and I was just like, blah blah blah, this, I think whatever era it was, me, it was including me, and then like people like 5 or 6 years ahead, I think it was up to 96, and we're considered born in the Showa era. Oh, okay. That doesn't matter.
No, at this point we're just like, hey, we're something, you know.
Is this what vibing is, where people just like listen to each other about complete fucking nonsense? Is that what vibing is?
I think any type of exchange of information at this point is just like vibing.
Is this like an exchange of information? I guess it is, but like, do you care now? I don't, not anymore.
I'm still getting there. I'll let you know. I'll just be like, oh, I'll cut you off in the middle and be like, oh, this is vibing.
Hey, Luis, can you shut the fuck up? Okay. That's when I'll just stop. Like, oh, okay. All right. I've said enough. What else do you do aside from vibing? I know that's not it, or I hope that's not it. If it is.
Oh,
it,
definitely. I mean, I'm sorry. Nah, definitely not. Okay. Just it. You know, trying to balance, like, you know, some sort of like social life, which is a little absent right now because I'm just, really, I've been noticing that I've been getting a lot more comfortable with just hanging out with myself, or just like, being a homebody, while whether it's practicing my guitar, or whether it's like, looking up, other hobbies. Like, I've just been on this weird little loop of trying to figure out what else. Like, I'm a very curious person by nature, so I've been just like looking at different things, see like, hey, I want to try that. I mean,
Well,
even
be
during a
specific,
pandemic,
dude.
like, you know,
Tell me what it is.
let's
Don't
see.
make it a secret. Come on.
Like, for example, ever since, even from the pandemic, during those whole lockdown, I did that whole thing that everyone's doing, like, making bread, trying to become a plant parent, which I'm still working on.
Okay, okay,
And
okay. That's giving me something to work with. Okay, so okay, what type of bread have you made? Or is there like I don't know. Like I haven't made bread yet. I'm not that type of dude. But please,
so
learn me something.
I have completely failed at trying to make bread. I think I've done it like maybe twice or three times. I gave it the old college try, and no, it has not come to fruition, no matter what recipe I follow. I don't know. There's something up there, but I have learned how to make my own garlic bread without having an
Oh.
actual make a baguette. But that was
Well, you
probably
didn't make the
one of the
baguette, but
highlights.
you do your own like garlic butter is what you're saying, for sure.
Absolutely. Yes, exactly. 100%.
Dude, I haven't done that yet, but that's definitely like one of the next things I'm gonna do because like I'd like to put like the garlic butter okay, I used to work at a restaurant, so I'd always get that garlic butter and put it on Texas toast. So I'm assuming like and I would put extra because I fucking love I didn't used to like butter, but if I don't know, I have to not. It's weird. I have to not look at it, and I just use like a brush, and then I just like I grill it, or what is it called? Put it on the pan. That's the way I toast it instead of putting it in the toaster. And then I'm just like, oh fuck yeah, this is really good. But yeah, what
It's
else was I gonna?
an
I'm sorry.
absolute game changer, man. It's an absolute game changer, like, to start doing your own garlic butter. It's just, I don't know. I'm a sucker for that kind of
Do you
shit,
put a lot of
especially,
garlic on there? I want my breath to fucking
oh,
stink.
most
I want
definitely.
vampires repelled for my shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how much garlic I put on there. What about you?
Dude, I'm telling you, man, my poops smell like Olive Garden, like,
Does
straight
that
up. You know what I'm saying? That's
is that a thing?
I mean, it is now. At least that's when, where anytime I ever catch myself, going to an Olive Garden, I'd be like, wow, it's just like my restroom. I feel like I'm at home.
I think that says good things about your shit and bad things about Olive Garden all at the same time.
Shine a light on
Hey,
my
no, it's cool. I mean, you could always disparage large corporations in favor of your own shit, like in the most literal sense, at least.
that's what we call homegrown.
Oh yeah, fermentation, I guess you could say. What
There you
was I
go.
gonna say? And then you're a plant parent. Do you have multiple plants?
As of right now, I am working on, I have been, my oldest plant that I have so far is a Serrano plant.
Oh no
So I'm
shit.
trying to
So
get,
you're growing Serranos?
yeah, that sucker
No.
is pretty fucking huge right now. And wait, are we allowed to curse on this thing? Right? Fuck yeah. Okay, never mind. Anyways,
What do you mean? Like I haven't stopped.
I'm over
Like
here.
what
I
the
was
fuck
like,
are you
wait, what's
talking
going on? I was
about?
like, I'm not paying. That
Hey,
just goes
what's
to show
up?
how much
This
I'm
is
paying attention to you right
this
now.
is fucking Idiosyncratica, motherfucker.
It's like, what the fuck is up? This is welcome to fucking Denny's.
Isn't that the first thing I said? I
Anyways.
don't remember. Anyways, yeah, you can curse if you want.
But let's see here.
Yeah, I got some fucking
So
Serranos. Any fucking ways. Check this shit out, motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah, do all of
it.
that.
So
So a Serrano plant and
that's my oldest one that I've got so far. It hasn't
how
produced
old
any
is it?
peppers, but it's definitely, I would say I had that one, I think, since November.
November of last year,
So
so that's like what, like 12 months already?
it's like a
No,
good, yeah,
9 months.
like 10 months, nine, 10
10
months.
months. Yeah, 10 months. There you go. My math was off on that one.
And
I personally have just one plant and it's a succulent and it's real easy. That's why I got it. Or I basically got it for my daughter on Valentine's Day and I've just been taking care of it. And I think I
lovely.
was murdering it. Like I was just giving it too much water because I was just like, it needs water every day, right? Like all plants do. And just like, no. In fact, I need to water it today. And it's just gotten about like, it's grown about 3 or 4 inches since I got it. So I'm pretty proud of that. So yeah.
Oh,
It
that's, hey,
lost all
that's
of
a
its
win,
like,
man.
well, it lost all of its succulent petals at first. And I was terrified, like, it's gonna die. And now I'm just like nursing it back to proper health. And now it's like really healthy. And it's starting to become like a I would say about the size of my hand. Like it's about that high. And it's gonna end up being about that big, at least for this season. So I'm pretty excited.
Ooh, oh, hey, that's great.
Do you have
So,
any other plants other than Serrano?
Other than Serrano, I'm also for the past like a couple months, I've been working on getting my own tomatoes, both cherry and steak tomatoes, like
Steak
the beef steak.
tomatoes?
Yeah, so basically that's just like kind of like if you ever go to the supermarket, you'll see like a large ass beef steak tomatoes. That's usually what they use for. There was this type of recipe that I remember finding out when I was in college where you would literally put that beefsteak tomato over bread. So whenever you cook a fine steak and you place it over it, the juices will soak into the bread itself. So it becomes like a second meal, like not a meal, but a second side.
Okay, I get what you mean. So they're kind of
So
seasoning each other. So that would be like your the
pretty
size to your
much something
steak.
like that.
And instead of broccoli, which is what I would do, you'd probably put that steak tomato right next to it, right? And it would have like they would season each other and have like that would kind of have like what am I trying to say? That charred kind of meat buttery taste on it, the same. And the tomato would
Like that.
transfer over to the steak as well, I'm guessing, right?
And then the bread will just collect everything considering it's on the bottom. So it's like it's a good time. It's like a weird explosion of
It
flavor.
sounds good. I'm still trying to process this in my head for sure. You know what? Since we're on the subject, how do you? I just had a fucking steak, man, and it was just fucking great. How do you take your steak?
Let's see. Medium well is mostly how I do it.
Dude, what? Okay.
Medium well.
I'm
It's
the
like
same.
the
I'm in the same place, just in the opposite area. It's medium rare for sure. Go ahead.
I'm not a crazy fan of like bloody steak. I have given it a chance just so I could know what range I would fall into when I first started like exploring like the different I guess like the different
You did
types
the
of
whole thing.
steak
You had the
and
range and stuff like that for sure. I mean, obviously, right?
Because I mean, I'm not gonna go and be like that kind of like pretentious person, like, ugh, like no, ugh, this is like, or like, try to like get on like, I'm not part of PETA or anything like that or any bullshit. I'm not trying to
I
take
mean, you
anyone to
could
their
be,
side of
and there's
myself.
nothing
I
wrong with that
fucking
either.
love.
Like, there's nothing wrong
Oh
with
no,
that
fuck
either.
no, I love. Oh hell no, I'm a slut for a steak, man. Any
Oh,
type of
dude,
steak, as
a
long as it's
slut
not
for a steak.
charred,
What does that mean? Like, what? Are you blowing people on the side of the road for steak? I mean, I would. I mean, dude, dude, the steak I just had at Texas Roadhouse, dude, I might blow somebody on the side of the road for this fucking steak, dude. Like, I mean, it was really fucking good. I was telling
That
you
depends.
earlier
Was it how many ounces was it?
I think it was 22 ounces, 22 ounce steak. Ah,
That's
man,
fair. I think that warrants a blowjob or something, because I mean that's a large ass cut.
Not just that, dude. And I was telling you this off pod, but dude, like the first bite, I mean, it didn't stop, but the first bite, it felt like it was melting in my mouth, dude. And like, let's say if I go to like a lesser steakhouse, I guess you could say, I don't know, or like maybe it was something with like a not so good of a cut, it would just like I kind of have to put like a little bit of steak sauce on there. And I'm not a big fan of steak sauce because like, I mean, I'll obviously see, if I'm doing it myself, I won't do any of that shit, of course. But this one is like one of the first steaks that I didn't put anything on, like nothing, no salt, no pepper. It was just good. The seasoning and the it was a little bit fatty, but I think that's what helped. Like, cause it what am I trying to say? I guess the fat kind of rendered on the steak, and it made it so juicy, dude. I can't explain it, dude. I didn't chew my first bite for sure. It was just like it felt like it melted in my mouth. It was just
Yeah, I think that's why I believe that the marbleization is really important. When I used to see shit like that, I would just be like, "What the hell are they even talking about?" But now, as I'm starting to get more in tune with exactly with the culinary, I guess the culinary aspect of it, it's just like I get it now.
It's
Like
kind of
that kind of shit
hard to
matters.
explain. Like for me, it's hard to explain, but now that I've been doing it for a while, I kind of know like what type of marbleization and what fat content I want on my steaks or any type of meat that I make. Because I think I'm a, you know what? I'm not even gonna be humble about it. I think I'm a badass fucking griller, and I'll do some fucking crazy shit, dude. Like my mom was talking about some like ribs or some shit like that. I was just like, okay, dude. Like, I mean, I guess. I mean, I make the best ribs, but I don't know if you want them from fucking here or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm just like that type of dude and
Yeah.
stuff like that. Because I'm trying to prefer perfect like I think it's like a reverse sear method, where instead of And stop me if you've heard this before, but it's where instead of searing all the juices inside, where you just put it on a pan and you just like go ahead and just like make a crust on the outside and then grill it, What I'm trying to do is just like slow cook it, and then when I'm done with that, have it at the perfect temperature, then take it inside, put it on a cast iron pan, and then see, and then go ahead and create a crust on that for sure. Kind of like a sous vide, but on a grill, because I like that smoky flavor for sure. Have you ever done that?
Oh yeah, definitely. I have never done a reverse one. I have seen some of the videos about doing things like that. You got it right on the nose about, it's like a smoking method where they just you use very low and direct heat to get
Because
the
there you
outside
could do
and
it the
then
first way.
boom.
It's just like the thing is, it's like you have to really time it very well. At least the first way I was talking about, where you see all the
You
juices,
definitely got to pay
and then you
attention,
have to,
yeah.
because that's like that first part is like all like pinnacle. If you don't get that right, you're gonna fuck up your steak even before you put it in the oven or the grill or whatever like that. You automatically fuck it up if you don't do it right. Whereas the other way, you kind of like have a lot of leeway. You know what I mean? Like you could just wait for a while, and then once it gets to the right temperature, then you could just throw it in the pan, and then that's where you kind of like really look at it, baste it, and just try not to fuck it up.
Absolutely. It's very hard to fuck up steak, but at the same time, it's like if you're not too careful, it will definitely be inevitable.
Like if for me, I don't know about you, but I put a shitload of butter and I baste the fuck out of it for sure. Like I have to do that. And I put,
Absolutely.
do you, what do you put any herbs or anything on the top of your steak, if you don't mind me asking?
The only thing I do is probably like thyme. That's the only thing I probably use other than along with the butter as I baste. My favorite cut of meat is definitely porterhouse. That is my absolute favorite type to cook.
Is that like a fatty
And
cut, by the way?
it's got like that T, it's got that little like it's not exactly T-bone, but it has that little bone where you could where you would have cut it into like two separate parts.
Okay, so it's like
And
T-bone-esque. I think I know which one you're talking about.
there you go.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I got
So
you.
it's definitely a lot on the meatier side. There's not too much fat on it. If anything, it's probably like around, I guess, like a frame of fat, and then the rest is just pure beef. And I use both the stovetop and the oven. The oven finishes the job for me. And I love using cast iron. I have
Oh,
like
dude,
almost like
fuck
a
yeah.
thermos skillet.
Like, there's no, like,
It's
after using a cast iron and learning how to, like,
You
seize
can't
it
go
and do it
back.
right, you cannot, dude. Like, I've tried using regular pans. Like, this is shit. Like, this is complete shit. Like, it's because, I want you to get into it, but like, what am I talking about when you season a cast iron pan? Go ahead, please. I want to hear your thoughts
Okay,
first, please.
so for seasoning, when it comes to that, not to be com for those listening, not to be confused with like pepper, salt, and all that kind of stuff. The seasoning, a cast iron skillet, is literally a method that would, in a way, clean your skillet and it keeps it non-stick.
Yeah, you're basically creating your own nonstick pan with whatever fats, oils, or I guess animal parts. What am I
Yeah,
trying to
pretty
say?
much.
Animal drippings or stuff like
And
that? What? Go ahead.
yeah,
What do
and
you?
like you're literally every time you are ever after every use of it, it's like you create your own like little, not thin, but like it's like a little like I guess what do you say, like a little covering over the
Teflon.
cast.
Like
I oh,
it
I
looks like Teflon after a while. Is what I like to describe
yes,
it, but it's the
and it gives you
non-stickness
that
we're
real
talking about.
glossy look.
Yeah, mine's not just there because the middle of mine. The reason that it's not like that is because like I also use it for tortillas, like to go ahead and make tortillas. So after a while, but I like it to be kind of like dry and stuff like that because it just means that my tortillas just have like a lot more, the steak, the potato, the bacon, everything that I've ever put on there. It just basically goes right back in there. So what do you season your cast iron with, if you don't mind me asking? Can you
I've been
give out your
using
secrets?
I've been okay, so okay, no one tell anyone after this.
I won't.
We're about to go viral, but you guys are not allowed to tell anyone. But our
I won't.
little secret.
I swear.
What I personally use is that I just use a bit of a mid to high smoke point of olive oil. So I have in the past used canola, but then at some point I was just wanted to switch things up a bit, and I've been using olive oil. And for a good while I was using avocado oil.
That's what I currently
That is
use, avocado. That's what I was about to say.
Probably I will admit that that's probably the best type to be using, but of course, it is also a little bit on the pricey side. So whenever I feel like treating myself or when I can, I'll go ahead and I'll be like, yeah, what the hell? Let's get a bottle. of that avocado oil, and then, you know.
I get mine from Sam's, so like that's why it's like kind of easy. It's about the same as like it costs about the same. I think maybe a dollar more than what the olive oil costs at like regular Walmart. You know what I mean? Like it's a little cousin. So that's why I just go to Sam's and I get the big avocado oil. And I think it's last. And all I use the avocado oil is just to season my fucking pan, and that's it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I was gonna ask, do you use your cast iron pan daily?
So I pretty much use it for mainly I use it for my steaks. For sure, it's like it's I do not I don't settle for anything else other than that. I'll be a
Okay.
total snob about it. But I will say, ever since I got an air fryer, that has been a complete game changer, especially when I'm making like, you know, poultry.
Okay.
Love it.
I kind of hate
Love it.
air fryers because I've tried to make sweet potato fries, and I've tried, and I think it's just maybe sweet potato fries that just suck for me. But every fucking method that I try, it just comes out like shit, and it's just like it doesn't. What I've heard is it's just like it's hard to fry them because of the sucrose or the sugar that ends up developing while you try to air fry it or fry it. Because I could fry them, but that sugar, it just makes them too floppy. And what I'm looking for is like a really crispy texture. And just that frustration alone makes me never want to use a fucking air fryer ever again. So now I'm just like, I just double down on just like regular, like, you know, frying oil. I'm just like, you know what? Fuck this. If I'm gonna make fries, dude, that's just gonna be like my little treat, and that's all I'm gonna do. And I fucking quit with potato, like sweet potatoes. I'm just like, I literally rid recently, very recently, I just got rid of like sweet potatoes out of my diet, and I'm just like, you know what, dude? I'm gonna just eat the extra fat and starch from these regular fucking potatoes, dude. I don't give a fuck. That's how bad it was, dude. It was just so frustrating, dude. And okay. Because it's hard to fucking cut a fucking sweet potato. It's hard to fucking fry it. It's hard to fucking prepare it any other way than just baked. And I'm just like, dude, I'm fucking done with this. Like, I just like, you know what? This is not giving me any sort of joy. So I just got rid of that shit for sure.
I hear you. I will admit that there are some things that a traditional fryer just does a little better. For example, I mean, if you want to do some fried chicken, if you want to do like, you know, like whether it's fried anything, like fried pickles and stuff like that, I will say that a traditional oil fryer will probably work better as far as giving you that excellent crunchy crust and on the outside, because I feel that an air fryer will it'll get the job done, it'll cook it. But you know, I've been there where, you know, I'll do the whole, you know, the original method, just, you know, dipping in the buttermilk and egg and then throwing it into panko, and then, you know, just, but I noticed that when I throw it into the air fryer, it does fry to a certain degree, until then you start seeing that it's a little bit still, like,
It's not
I don't know how to
crispy on the
explain it.
outside. It's also kind of
It's not
dry,
super
right?
crispy.
Is it
Yeah,
kind of
so
dry on
that's
the outside? That's the thing. So, I mean, I don't know if you knew this, and I'm probably going to say some like wrong ass shit, but ba do you know that an air fryer is basically a convection oven?
Yeah, pretty much. And
Okay.
I think it even mentions that, like, on the box itself, like it'll like kind of like tiptoe around that word.
Yeah, but basically an air fryer is basically a convection oven. And the problem the is that it's not saying that there is a problem with convection ovens or air fryers. Air fryers just happen to be very convenient and small. You know what I mean? And I'm actually okay with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But the only problem is when you're trying to like air fry or convection bake regular type of fried foods, is if it's not if it doesn't have like a kind of already like damp exterior or a somewhat damp exterior, it's gonna really dry out the food. So for fried pickles, I've never really had a problem as long as I spaced them out evenly enough. And for the chicken, as long as it's in smaller portions and spaced out with about, I would say about an inch or two apart. No, not even that. Like maybe about quarter to half an inch apart. I think you're good at that. You're good with that. But it's just sweet potato
Absolutely.
fries, dude. Just like, I'm done. I'm totally done. But hey, going back to the kitchen, one of the main topics I wanted to go ahead and get with you is just like, dude, you're like one of the only people that I know that uses a fucking Chemex. So can you tell me about your morning routine when you make coffee, please?
So, first and foremost, I absolutely I love coffee. I wouldn't go as far as saying like, I'm an enthusiast or a connoisseur, but it's just something I've come lately to enjoy as far as, getting my morning routine down. It actually all came by surprise too. A couple of years back, I received a Chemex for Christmas
It was a gift.
because, yeah, it was a gift. It started out, that's how it all started.
Wow, dude,
They
that's
knew.
like the best way.
Yeah.
Awesome. Go ahead.
Dude. And it's incredibly cool. Like just, the process, it's a little bit more lengthy than your traditional coffee brew, but I personally feel that that makes it so much more rewarding. The patience it takes and the how I'm do this whole thing where it's called like measuring with your heart and shit like that. I'm not a snob to where like I got to do the exact ratio right. I usually just do it from the with the I eyeball the hell out of that kind of thing from the water to the bean ratio. And
Breaking my heart.
ever since, yeah, I'm sorry, but ever since I started using the Chemex, I never really went back to. I used to have a Keurig. I gave that away as soon
Yeah.
as, yeah, I was just like, it just can't compete. I mean, not trying to sound, like again, not trying to be a snob about it, but it's just
You
like
can be a
you
snob,
really
dude.
do
It's
taste the
okay. You're
difference.
talking
You
to a
can taste the
snob here. It's
difference.
fine.
All right, let's snob out a little bit. So like, you can definitely taste the difference because I feel like a Keurig. While I understand, what's the word I'm looking for? I understand how the appeal to it, but and you know how like it saves time and it gives you a quick brew, but it's just like I
Well, let
can't.
me
It's
cut you off
just it
right there.
feels like way
What's
too
the appeal
watery.
for a Keurig? Like for somebody who's like a normal consumer who doesn't really know about what would you say is the biggest appeal to a Keurig for somebody who doesn't make their own coffee or do the whole ritual and stuff like that, like we do and
I
stuff
think
like that.
time management. I think time
Okay.
management definitely, because they
I
really just
would
got to put
definitely
a
agree with
pot
that.
in, put a cup, and then like click a button and boom, that's it. It does the rest.
Okay. A
For
couple of
what I use, huh? Go
Go
again.
ahead.
So like for my for a particular brew, a pour over, that kind of thing. It's like it does. I would say I think the last time I t like I timed myself for making a brew was probably like about close to 10 minutes.
What? Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of
Because
like a little bit too much. Yeah.
I take my time on it a lot,
Well, no, there's nothing
and
wrong with that, but I get like the kind of like minutia with it. I guess like getting everything ready and stuff like that. Are you including that, or are you talking about like your whole like pr
oh,
preparation time when you
definitely
have it?
prep time and actual like brewing time,
Oh,
so
okay.
all of it
That
encompasses.
makes more sense. I thought you meant like when you have everything ready. It should like as soon as you have everything ready, I think it should take you about like
Oh, it'd be
half
like
that,
about
about
five
5 minutes.
minutes, maybe.
Yeah,
Yeah,
for sure.
absolutely.
Okay. I was just like, whoa. But all I guess the only additional thing that I do compared to somebody that would do a Keurig instead of just throwing away the K-Cup is I have everything ready for the next day. Or I have everything available in the cabinet where I want it to be, and I have everything ready. I pre-fill everything. Okay. So now I'm gonna go into my process. If you want to look at it and you're a friend of mine, just go to my Instagram and there's like a little video on it. But that's like my pour over method. But so what I basically do is I do have a coffee scale. I measure it down to the fucking gram. And I do exactly. Fuck, I forgot. I always have to do the calculations when, because I haven't had like fucking coffee from my fucking pour over in a while. So I would say I do exactly what 768? Is it 768? No, it's more than that. No. How much would it be? 700 and let me just do the calculation right here because I'm dumb about this. So if it's at a 117, so I want to do exactly 750 milligrams. No, 750 grams divided by times divided by 17, isn't it? 44? Yeah, that sounds right. 44 grams
Okay.
per, yeah, four. I think it's closer to 48. So I'll put 48 grams of coffee, right? Because I drink a lot of coffee. And I have like a
Yeah.
special Herio thing. So I do about like I would say 40, 45 to 48 of coffee. And then what I'll do is I'll pour about 150 grams in a French press or in a pour over specifically, I'll put about 200 just to go ahead and get the coffee grounds wet. To let the gases decompress or something like that, to have the coffee
The blooming.
degassed. Yeah, blooming. There you go. and it's supposed to degas a little bit. And there's a difference when you, well, to me, there's a difference. When I do it and I don't do it, there's a big fucking difference, at least for me. But after that, you let it bloom for a little bit and then you pour over the rest. For a pour over, you're kind of just taking your time. Like, kind of with the Chemex, I'm assuming you just kind of like take your time with it and then just like let it fill up to a little bit till it gets to your desired thing and make sure none of it like really sticks to the edge. And you're not really supposed to get anything on the edge because then it's just like going straight through the filter and not getting the coffee in there, right? Whereas with a French press, you just kind of you're if you got 750, if you have 650 grams left, or what is it called, 550 grams left, just put it in there, like throw it all in there and just mix it all up and then just throw that shit right in there, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I use both. But the coffee out of a fucking French press still has that kind of grainy texture, you know what I mean? Like, it still has like you could taste like the grittiness at the end. So what I've been doing lately is I'll pour after I'm done filtering it in the fucking French press, I'll pour it in like a pour over with like a paper filter instead of like the mesh filters, the wire mesh filters. So I
Don't
could
like
have
those, nah.
you d yeah th there's it's about as much as like a French press. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, basically it's just like a reusable wire mesh, kind of like what you would see on like a reusable K-cup, but even then that gives like a little bit too much graininess in coffee and stuff like that. It's not exactly my favorite taste, and I don't like when it gets to my teeth and stuff like that. It causes like a lot more yellowing in my teeth. I feel like when I brush my teeth, so I'm just like, nah, dude. And I don't know. Do you brush your teeth before you have your morning coffee?
It's been like a toss up. I usually, I traditionally don't do it before. I mean,
Okay,
they
because
say
I
that's
don't
the
brush my teeth
method to
until
go to. I
afterwards
did.
because I'm gonna stain my teeth anyways. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But there's some people that it just like it's disgusted them. Like, I would rather, because I don't know if you know the point of like, not you, but I guess my audience, but like the point of brushing your teeth is to get rid of all the stuff that was on there from the night before or from what you ate. So why are you gonna go ahead? Because if you ate breakfast, you would have to go back and brush your teeth again, because then you have all this like sugar on your teeth and it's fucking up your teeth. I don't know. That's my thinking of it. And I don't think it's that disgusting, but my tia would always give me shit about it.
No,
She was like,
like
dude, chill out. Like, dude.
I agree with you on that, because it's just like, why would I want to do that and then start so early as far as staining my teeth? Maybe I could at least try to give myself a good, I guess you could say, a head start on the day. You know what I mean? If like
Well,
let's
dude,
get
like,
let's add that to the night before. It's kind
yeah,
of
for
that's kind
sure.
of
Like,
fair.
I mean, like, have you, okay, I've had like coffee, like I've had coffee in the fucking middle of the day, right? And what'll happen is like I'll have that kind of like grain, and it's with everything, like any type of coffee or anything like that. It'll just start like sticking around my teeth and I hate it. Like, it's just like a film. And like, it's the same thing as like ice cream, whereas I'm okay with ice cream because that's just delicious, you know, but it's just like on my teeth and I don't like it, and it's super bitter. And that's the stuff that's probably at the end, because like the end, like at least with the end of a pour over or a French press, like I think you're supposed to just throw that out. There's supposed to be a little bit left that you just kind of throw out, because that's like all the acidicness, all the stuff that was out of the bloom, you just kind of throw that away. I told you I was gonna go real deep into coffee, right?
Love it.
So yeah, I'm really that crazy, and that's why I'll just use both my French press and a pour over. Because it gives me the best filtered coffee. And dude, it's like you know how there's like that it reminds me of like silk. Like, it's just really smooth. It's not blonde, but it's just dark enough to where it's just like it's a really good start to your day. I had a question about how long it takes. So would you say that it tastes better because you're a lot more invested in the process?
I feel a part of it may play in that, because again, it all comes back to the whole idea that the time that you're putting into it, the effort, it makes it all that much more rewarding. And that's probably like maybe it could give you like placebo effect vibes, like you're really tasting your accomplishment. You know what I mean?
Well, I think of it
But
as like a small thing of meditation, because you really do have to take your time. Like, because if you rush something, you're gonna have a bad cup of coffee, right?
absolutely. Also, quick question, just a little quick segue. Do you buy whole bean or do you buy like ground coffee?
I do ground coffee. I haven't got a,
Mm.
because I don't have a blade thing or anything like that. So I'm
Yeah.
kind of okay with the ground coffee. That's not a problem for me. But I'm thinking about getting an, I don't want to get a burr grinder because like my friend Vincent, my friends Vince and Lucy have one. And by the time they're done, dude, just to get like maybe about like, I don't know, 20 grams, it's just like fly fishing
It's a
or
workout.
it's masturbation without a payoff, dude. Like I don't know. Not for me, man. So I'm looking for a relatively inexpensive but still high quality, like a burr, automatic burr coffee grinder. You know what I mean? Something that'll kind of just do it for me in the mornings. So I could just maybe have the beans, just put them in there like really quick and then have it do that. Unless it's gonna be that, I don't think I really want a fucking coffee grinder. You know what I mean? Like I think I'm just like good without it. Because I think that would just add like way too much stress to my morning for sure. Like yeah, I'm assuming you have a little grinder.
I don't have a burr one or like a manual. It's actually just a
A
plug into the
blade.
wall automatic grinder. Yeah, blade. It's I mean I got one of the I got like I think one of the most affordable ones through what was it, Kohl's, I think.
Okay.
I just found it while shopping one day, and I was like, hey, I could use something like this because I want to go ahead and see what really makes a difference as far as like the grind. So I found like a least expensive KitchenAid grinder, throw
I've
the
had
beans
that
in
same
there.
grinder, but then I used it to like, I don't know, like I forgot what I think I used it to like grind up some weed or something like that. I don't know. I forgot. And I don't know. I just completely ruined it. I was just like, I don't know. And then I stopped using it because then all of my fucking coffee tasted like weed. And I was just like, I don't need that to start my morning. So I think I'm good.
You're gonna end
This
up
is.
like Forrest Whitaker, like, you know, when half of your face is gonna be like, you know.
Well, oh yeah, Forrest Whitaker. Dude, he's such a good actor. Like what the fuck,
Amazing
man? Like
actor.
it's not right. Is all I have to say. It isn't, dude. Like it's just like that's me. I could have a chance. Why not me? Fucking Forrest Whitaker taking all my roles. I'm kidding. I'm not in Hollywood. I don't want to be either. What
Oh,
was I gonna
God.
say? But yeah, would you say that the investment, just the slight investment of just taking a little bit more time in your morning routine to make a cup of coffee with either a fucking French press, a pour over, or whatever other method is worth it? You know what I mean? At least one of those two, because
Absolutely.
I'm, yeah, I would have to
I think
highly
so.
agree because like one, it allows, you're kind of forced to wake up a little bit early, I guess you could say, and it just like forces you to just take a few moments. And I guess it goes into a little bit more mindfulness for me because that's something I've been kind of getting into, at least a little bit. I'm not saying like I'm a yogi or I'm just like, hey, dude, like I'm in nirvana right now. Nothing like that. But it just gives you a few moments just to take a little bit of time out of your day to just like slow down. Like you can't rush the process. And I think that's part of what makes it like kind of relaxing and helps you throughout your day. You know what I mean? At least I think so. What do you have
It
anything to
gives a
add to
little bit
that?
more, yeah, it gives a little bit more gratitude toward, you know, again, yeah, I feel like half of the battle was like, you know, the or reward is like accomplishment itself, that, you know, taking the time, being, it teaches a little bit of patience if you want to get real, like, you know, technical about it.
Yeah.
Because again, and we can't stress this enough, that, you know, the time you take to make a brew will determine how bitter or how sour your cup may
Because if
be.
you take too long, it'll come out like really sour and acidic and it won't taste good. It'll taste like the work coffee. Like you know what I mean? The stuff that they make, and I'm just like, dude,
Yeah, pretty much.
this
It's
is
like,
shit. Like this, it's like, wow, dude. Like people drink this and it's like and then after you go in and go back, you're just like, dude, what the fuck is this? Like I didn't know that this is kind of like shit.
like, yeah, you don't want to go this far just to get like break room coffee.
And it'll do its job, but you're just like, damn, dude, like this was good for me for a while. Like it's just like what the fuck? What was I gonna say? Oh, and this is like to go like this is not the only thing I do like that. Like I also do like wet shaving. Do you know what that is?
Wet shaving?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Do you know what a double-edged razor is?
Okay, yeah, that I go.
Okay. So basically it's one of those ex with those exchangeable blades. You know the ones that you see in like I guess you could say movies when they're giving them to people that it's like a common thing that they give people to I don't even want to say it, but you know what? It's like what punks used to wear on their fucking chains and stuff to be like really cool. Those types of razors and stuff like that, I guess you could say. And that's basically what you put on there, and it goes on there, and it's just it's really sharp. You don't need like multiple blades, but it also takes a lot longer because it can, like, I don't know, peel your skin off like a fucking grape. So I wouldn't say like rush it, but it also gives you like the closest shave. But it takes me about 20 to 30 minutes to shave my head and face at the same time. It's almost the same thing. It's the same thing. It's also commonly known as a safety razor, but it's like about the same closeness that you would get from a shavette or a what is it called? A straight razor. There you go. That's what I'm trying to say. But it's supposedly safer. But dude, you could literally like peel your fucking. It's happened to me before. That's why I know. And you could literally like peel like a good like piece of your skin off and stuff like that, and you don't want to do that. But that's just to say,
Oh,
that's not the only
I
thing.
just got that. Sorry to cut you off. I just got that notification, the battery.
Okay, let's try to go real quick. So I guess we got about 15 minutes. So hey, let's go ahead and talk about music really quick. What type of music are you into right now? Can you tell me?
So as of right now, well, since we first met, I believe, like, back then we were just always into that punk scene and hardcore music. And it seemed while that hasn't lost, I haven't lost this touch with it. Like, I still hop back and forth
Yeah.
playlists every now and then.
I still have a really close relationship to it. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, definitely, 100%. And nowadays, it's just really been like indie rock, a little
Indie
bit of
rock?
like, electronic. For example, I've been really, I mean, one of the biggest names in indie right now is Phoebe Bridgers, and she, like, it's like she's an incredible songwriter. And I say that in the aspect that what I really like about her is that she doesn't have to use like $10 words. Like, it's so simplistic writing, but it's really about the composition and arrangement of those words that she just kind of like just knocks it. It's really relatable, and I think that's where it hits people the most,
The only
because you don't
time
have
I
to do
hear
like crazy rhymes.
Phoebe Bridgers is literally off of your feed, and I'm just like, oh, okay, hey, this is like something new and stuff like
Love
that. Well,
it.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, what you want me to tell you? Like, dude, I'm the biggest Phoebe Bridgers fan. Like, no, I'm not. Like, you know what I mean? But the only
Oh,
time I do
no,
listen
for
to it
sure.
off your feed, and it's honest, but it's just like when I do hear it, like it makes me want to go ahead and give it an honest listen and stuff like that. So, what are some other artists that you'd say that you got into as far as for like indie rock and stuff like that? Would Alt J be like one of those indie rock type of people or?
I think that falls under the genre. I can't say that I've actually been listening to plenty of Alt J. It has run into, it has snuck its way into like my daily mixes on my Spotify, and it hasn't gotten a skip just yet. So
Well,
I
did
will
you ever
put that in
play?
there.
I think I remember you playing what is it? What am I trying to say? It's like an indie game and it just came out. Oh man. Fuck, I have to look it up.
Any chance is it called Life is Strange?
Yes, it is Life is Strange, for sure.
Dude, yeah, that's a great game, that with a wonderful soundtrack. That
I was
the
about to say, it's
curation
like, dude,
of
it's
the
like a
music
bunch
is
of Alt
great.
J songs like on like the first game.
It
Like
is,
there's like
isn't it? Huh? Because
it's like half of the fucking soundtrack is nothing but Alt J. I was just like, if you like that game and the soundtrack, I guarantee you like Alt J. And that's the only
I
reason I
believe
like Alt J.
I love that. I believe that the sequel was mainly done with the band Daughter, and that's another one I recommend.
Are you talking about like the actual two one or the one that's called Before the Storm, the prequel?
Oh yeah, Before the Storm. There you go. Good call out.
Dude.
Yeah, Before the Storm.
I didn't play two. I just didn't bother with it because, dude, Life is Strange and its prequel just fucking wrecked me emotionally, like so bad,
hundred
dude. Like
percent. Yes. Agree, agree, agree.
I've never been so. I'm a pretty quick decision maker in real life, but dude, like I will just like sit there and with my fucking like holding my knees, just watching the TV is like, what happens if I make the wrong choice? Like what happens if I make the wrong choice? I don't want anybody to die anymore. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just like there, like, dude, what is going on? And it is such an emotional trip for sure,
Absolutely.
man. Well, going back to music, I would say, so what were some of your inspirations and where did it branch out from there, if you don't mind me asking, from at least like back in the high school days?
So I've been like trying to do better at songwriting, and for that one, I do owe a lot to Benjamin Gibbard, the lead singer for Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh,
I
yeah,
think
okay.
he's definitely one of the best songwriters of our generation, along with, Phoebe herself. And then we also got, Julian Baker, who is also incredible. She will ruin you. And I
Well,
just recently saw Lucy Dacus in concert over here in White Oak in Houston, and that was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
is there a different vibe when it's like kind of like indie rock and stuff like that rather than like a punk show? Like I really couldn't tell you. Like, you know what I mean? So can you tell me what some of the experience is like and how it differs from like a punk show from back in the day?
So the first ones that come into mind was probably maybe about 5+ years ago, I saw Rise Against with Thrice,
Okay.
and I think it does play a little bit of a difference, because I think it's just the vibe itself and like the what's the word I'm looking for here, just the overall attitude and ambiance of it. And I think acoustics do matter in the venues, and I feel like with indie it's a little bit more, I guess, quiet. It's not crazy loud.
Are you looking
So
for the word
I think
intimate?
there. Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah, I think
Intimate? I'm
the
guessing what
intimacy
it
that
is,
yeah.
because it's like it's very quiet and stuff like that. And I would say, because even from like the post that you've made about the previous like concerts that you've gone to, the audio, though it's like it doesn't sound very loud, it sounds like you're right there. It sounds like very clear. Like, you know, it doesn't sound like people are like talking over, or like that the actual music and the acoustics are really hard to hear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I
It
remember, like from back then in 2007, I saw the Misfits live, and that was like, it just checked off all the boxes for me as far as like how punk music is played live. It's just like the graininess, the you get a lot of like that overdrive, and it's just like that fast pace,
def 2007, was that like at
vibe.
Casino El Rey?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude, I was there. Yeah, I was there for
Nice.
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was like the watered down Misfits. It was just like with Jerry Only. And that's
Jerry
kind of
Only,
it.
and I think what was the guitarist name? I forgot his name, and I think it was like, I think D was still on drums or some shit like that,
Wasn't it Romo?
or
Oh
no,
no, it
R
wasn't.
Ramon.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't remember. I know Jerry Only was like the only dude there that I remember for sure. And then, well, the only other punk show that I saw at fucking Casino El Rey was against. No, I didn't see them at Casino El Rey. I ended up going to. I saw Against Me, I think, over there in San Antonio, I think. And that was like a pretty good
Nice.
show. And we went ahead and moshed and stuff like that. So that was pretty awesome. Apparently, a lot of people saw Laura on the streets and stuff like that, which I like just walking around the streets like before her show. And I was just like, man, I wish we would have gotten there early and stuff like that. But yeah, there's a different, there's like a clear, like definite different vibe going to a punk show and then like one of these, like one of the these indie rock shows. It does seem like a lot more intimate. And then I guess you could have like a, how can I put it? A close relationship both to the artist and the music at the same time. It seems like a very different experience, but a very like not calming, but I'm just gonna
It
keep
definitely
on
ties
saying
it all
intimate.
together.
Yeah, dude. And it seemed like you were kind of far away, but it still felt like you were close. I don't know how to say it. Though
Like, for
you were
example,
distant. Yeah.
I think like it also, when I make comparisons when it comes to like indie rock, one of the best shows was when I saw Death Cab for Cutie for the first time. It was in Austin. They have a venue called Live at ACL Live at the Moody Theater. And that was probably one of the greatest shows I have ever attended, because it just felt right, like the vibe was great, the acoustics were amazing, and also I think what played a huge part was the crowd itself. It wasn't the you know how you have those fans that they want to beat everyone to the front, and when they start seeing that the next band that they want is coming up, that they're gonna go
Are
ahead and
you
like.
talking about the last 15 world, what is it called, Warped Tours? Yeah, I've been there. Fuck yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've been to one of
Yes.
those shows.
You
Okay.
and you know how everyone's just fighting to get to the front? Well, like, this was completely different. Everyone was just quiet. Everyone was, very considerate. I don't know. I don't the just the overall atmosphere was incredible, and it was something. It took a lot to take in. And I
Yeah,
think I
there's
was like,
definitely a big difference too, because like when I was at Warped Tour, like I mean, clearly there is, like at least from what I've seen. I haven't been personally. I don't want to say that I've seen from experience, but I've only seen like I guess what you could say, vicariously through you, I guess I could say, because I've
Yeah.
never really been to an indie show. I just never really had a chance or anything like that, especially like, pandemia 2020, 21. I just didn't really happen to fucking be in the right vein for me. But what ended up happening is like I went to Warped Tour, and this was like years ago too, but dude, I remember being like pretty close to the front and just getting my back fucking smashed by like 50 people. Just like, oh, this railing, we don't give a fuck. You're
Yeah,
just
they're just
gonna
trying to climb through and like, they want to touch the skin of the band and you're just like, "Whoa, come on."
I'm literally bent over here. I think somebody's like literally like assaulting me right now. Like I have no idea what's going on behind me. Like that's the way I fucking felt. Like I had to escape, dude. Like, oh man, I don't even like being around people. And this was just like the worst. Like I was just like, nah, man. They don't even do Warped Tour anymore, right? I don't think
No,
so. It's been like
the
years.
last one was a couple years ago, which I was actually able to attend the final Houston date that they came through the final year.
Oh, that's awesome. Who were some of the headliners?
Oof. Okay, so there was quite a bit, and the ones that really stuck out for me, I for sure my main act that I wanted to see was Real Big Fish.
Oh no shit. Wow.
Like, they've been on that thing. Like, I think they've attended that almost every year, because they're just like, they were incredible, by the way. Like, it was fantastic. High school me was living. I was just loving the shit out of that. I got to see Every Time I Die. I haven't seen them since that Take Action tour back in McAllen, like in woo, like 2008, 2003 or something, 2008 or something like that.
Okay.
There
I
was
think
that one.
the last Warped Tour that I went to was in 2015, and Real Big Fish definitely wasn't there, but it was Pierce the Veil. That's the main reason that I went. Silverstein was there for sure. I
Nice.
found like a few new bands like Cuckoo Kangaroo, and who does like, oh man, it's the guy with the really deep voice that's just like really skinny. Black Veil Brides. Like he
Sure.
doesn't he's like, well, you know what I mean. Like, he's like really skinny, but he has like a really guttural deep voice. And I'm just like, that came out of him. Like, oh shit. Okay. That
Huh.
guy, I talk about my fat chords. And then I'm looking at him, it's like, those are fucking fat chords right there. It's like, holy shit, man. Vibrato and bass all at once in that small body. How the fuck is that possible? Then again, I don't really know about acoustics.
Yeah. I got to see Simple Plan, The Used. It was a nice little nostalgic trip there. That whole like tour, and that was pretty damn cool.
Yeah, man, I think that's what Warped Tour is. And I remember even like in high school, like having those little Warped Tour CDs and stuff like that. It would cost like, it was like a deal because you would get like some of the best songs out of like 50 different bands for like, I don't know, $6 or something
Oh
like
yeah,
that.
definitely.
Whereas it's because the CDs were like 10, $20 and I don't remember. They were actually like $20, right? $17.99 at Target. That's what I
Yeah.
remember. They were fucking expensive. Yeah. Hey, kids. You remember when you had to just like fucking buy a CD and listen to the whole album and you didn't have a choice of listening to anything else new other than that fucking album? Well, I do.
Oh yeah, then the new generations are definitely spoiled that they can just stream that kind of stuff. And no, we had to go through the we had to go. I remember going to Circuit City when it o opened its doors as soon as AFI's December Underground album dropped. I had to go straight to the store. That way I could make sure I got an exact copy of that CD, because surprisingly there was a lot of fans in the valley. And I ended up meeting a bunch of them there who were doing the same exact thing, because they were handing out like a free poster.
Yeah. Well, I mean, AFI is like, well, this is one of the main things that I wanted to go ahead and touch on anyways, but like AFI is like one of our mutual favorite bands, but like what is it called? What did I want to say? Do you remember when AFI was like still like what do they play now? It's like more like dance music, isn't it?
So, as far as the dance perspective, I think that that's owed to the lead singer and the guitarist Jade and Davey, their side project Black Audio, which they do a lot of
Yeah.
electronica. And
Yeah.
they have introduced small elements of that into AFI. Like, for example, I think like their singles like Love Like Winter, Death of Seasons, and then even mostly of December Underground, they added a little bit of electronic elements into it. But
Yeah, for
as of
sure.
lately, it seems like these past couple albums that they've released lately have been doing a little bit of going back to basics without having to go into deep into that punk scene that they first came from.
Yeah, for
And
sure.
it's and like, you know, I think they would probably fall under like alternative or like hard rock or something like that. But I
I
mean,
think it would be alternative since they're adding like all that synth stuff, because I think
yeah.
that's like definitely within the realm for sure.
All
But I
right,
think
very
like
fair.
right around what you were saying, like for December Underground is like kind of where I fell off. I know you shared like a few, like when we were younger, I think you shared like a few songs from Black Audio. And I asked you even a few times, like, what the fuck is this? And he was like, oh yeah, dude, it's like Davey Havok's like fucking side project. I was like, oh, okay. And then I just never listened to it again. I was just like, I'm good.
You're like,
You know, I
cool,
was just
block his number.
it wasn't like that. I was just like, oh, thanks for letting me know. It was just like, I just wanted to know, like, oh, I thought this had something to do with Davey Havok. I was like, oh, this is not really what I was looking for, but okay. It's like when Korn did like the fucking their drum and bass, not drum and bass, but dubstep album. I was just like, what the fuck is going on
Oh my
here? It was
God.
just
I'm so
like
out of
I
I'm so out of the
felt like
loop
a
on
bunch.
that.
Well, I think they did, and well, I mean, one of my favorite punk. What is it like, From First to Last? Isn't that Skrillex?
Oh yeah.
That's Skrillex right there. It's like, yeah, From First to Last is fucking Skrillex and shit. So it's not too far out there, considering like from the source. So I mean, but I tried it out for a little bit, but it just wasn't like my thing for sure. Like I just knew like I wasn't gonna like it, so I was just like, you know what? I think I'm good. But what would you say that your last favorite AFI album is, or your favorite AFI album to date?
So that's okay. So I still feel that Sing the Sorrow will always have that special place in my heart. Like that was the first album that basically I came to for that band, and the rest is history. And I fell in love with it, and I've been a fan for life since then. And it wasn't until after that where I decided to, you know, see the rest of their backlog, and that's when I discovered like, holy shit, these guys were punk first. And you know, I felt I really loved how they're able to evolve their sound and still maintain that whole following, because like their fan base is incredible, and the band itself really treats their fans well. You know, they've done this thing where back in I think like 2000, 2004, 2005, that they had like this big ass nationwide, even spanned across like the globe, where they had like these like little treasure hunts and scavenger hunts and stuff like that. And it was this huge mystery that everyone was trying to work together on through the message boards and the fan club. It
Oh,
ended
that's
up
cool.
leading to like locations in Los Angeles, where they ended up, if you were finding that location, you'll meet someone there and they would give you like a pair of tickets to a secret show.
Oh, hey,
And it was
that's
just like,
cool.
you know, it was really great, you know. A lot people still talk about that, and it's like, you know, it made such an impression about how well they, you know, they are connected to their fans. And so that's their that one's for sure, like, it's set in stone that that's always going to be my go-to album. But
I
as
thought it
far
was going to be something earlier, but yeah, I'd say I jumped on around the same time when I heard Sing the Sorrow. And would you say that's a punk album, or would you say it's more of like an emo album? Because it does have
I think that was the start of that was the start of the emo, yeah, for sure, because
that had some like heavy emo vibes, like
oh,
super
definitely,
heavy emo
100%.
vibes. Like some My Chemical Romance. Like I remember confusing like Davey Havok and fucking Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance. Like these aren't the same person. Like, oh, okay.
It's like
It's like I
eyeliner and
guess
long hair. Got it.
that's like everything. I was just like, I guess I could, if you found me at the right station in life, I could have confused Skrillex, Davey Havok, and Gerard Way as being the same person. Like seriously, the same hair, the same black clothes and stuff like that. Kind of wearing suits every once in a while. I was like, yeah, I guess these are all the same person.
Yeah.
It's like profiling, but for punks.
Definitely. And you know, that was the look, you know.
And no joke, I mean, since you're such a big fan, I don't think I'm that big of a fan. Like, you know what I mean? But I'd say anything before Crash Love, because I did listen to Crash Love, but I would just wasn't a big fan of it. And that's probably like where you were talking about, where it had like more of those synth vibes and stuff like that. But
Yeah,
definitely
it was real. It
everything.
was it, it it felt if it had like elements of like glam rock to me, a little bit. Like
Glam
it
rock?
was
What
a
would
little
you say
light.
glam rock is?
So
Like,
I
isn't it
think,
what?
you know, because a lot of the writing style in that particular album, I felt like shined a light on, you know, the whole glamour scene of Hollywood and stuff like that.
This is also about
And
the same time that he was hanging out with what's that guy's name? Jeffree Star, right?
actually,
They've been hanging out for like a while, haven't
Oh
they?
yeah, they have been. Yeah, I think they're like good friends for I don't even know how it is now, but like I remember they were always like, on scenes together and shit like that, like just at parties and they're just always like hanging out. And I think that probably did fall a little bit into his writing. And also Crash Love Bean having like that color scheme of like gold and stuff like that kind of like played a part in it as well. So they're really
Yeah.
like, they're really doubling down on the whole, I guess the whole attitude, the vibe of, just being real glittery and, the use of that color and, translating it into their music. But that's the one thing that I really liked about them is that, they're willing to go out of their comfort zone and still deliver a fine product. I'm not gonna, I will say that, Crash Love for me was like, it's not high up there, but it still definitely has some sort of like it has respectable singles that I really like because
Well,
you
that's
still
gonna
got
get that was gonna get
it's
into like what I was gonna ask now. Even though they've like changed like I guess you could say drawn genres a little bit and like gone through the years, would you say you're still a big fan even after all these changes and stuff like that?
Oh, definitely. I still get excited for every release because it's always given that whole it's really the thrill of finding out like what are they gonna what is this album's gonna sound like? I'm really curious and I'm gonna see like how they where they go with this, and then boom they drop a single or like they drop like little hit teasers of what's to come and it's just like that just makes it all that more exciting. I know well I think it was like after Crash Love they released an album called, it was a self no they released Burials and that was a little dark broody, a little bit like goth rock type, and
I
then after
remember
yeah.
seeing the album, and that's about it. And I was just like, I think I'm good. But yeah, I definitely, I can say definitely for myself that I did fall off. But it's nice to see. I don't know how to put it, but it's like I guess you could say admirable. Like I like to see that, like how somebody can stick with like an artist and even through all the changes and stuff like that, and still be like a really big fan of like a band that's gone through like so many changes. Because like I think I've heard that. What was it called? There is a self-titled AFI album, and I was looking for like I was looking for a compilation album that's self-titled as well. You know what I mean? So, and I ended
Oh
up listening to it.
yeah. I know
It's
what you're talking
called
about.
AFI the Blood Album. There you go. But it's like self-titled basically, but they call it the Blood Album
Yeah.
because it has like three drops on the top. And I was just like, well, I guess they changed the fucking compilation album. And then I was just like, I just started playing it looking for like Total Immortal or something like that. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, like, I'm always kind of like listening to them, and I don't know if it's always intentional, like, but it's just like, hey, you know what? This wasn't like too bad, and I ended up listening to the whole album. But I was just like, hey, you know what? This is like pretty cool and stuff like that. But like, whereas like a lot of people like me would just like drop off, like, you fucking changed. I don't fucking think so. Not me, a fire inside. I don't think so.
Yeah,
No,
you
no.
definitely get a lot of those fans. Even like even on their social medias, like for example, like Instagram, when they release anything, there's always that one guy that's like, "You guys were better when you were punk" or some shit like that. It's just like these like pushing like 40-year-olds. It's just like dogging on their sound no matter what. It's just like, come on,
Well,
man.
dude,
Like,
I mean, the albums are still there. Like, you know what I mean? You could still
exactly,
listen
like.
to them. Like, I don't know what the big deal is. Like, I mean, to expect like an artist like not to change like over time, like you, dude, like if you're gonna have like even like a country star, like you think they're just gonna play nothing but country? Maybe they want to do a musical later, or maybe they're just trapped by their own success and they have to be a country star for the rest of their life. You
Yeah,
know what I mean?
that's like a typecasting in music, like you don't want that.
Yeah, dude, that's like really weird music. Like, oh man, wasn't there like a story before where there was this like all black punk band, like as in they were all what is it called, black? You know what I mean? And instead of being categorized as like rock or something like that, they ended up being like having the top rap album or hip hop album. Did you ever hear that story?
No, but it's not like what was it like the Bad Brains or something or
Yeah,
Def Jam?
bad. It wasn't Bad Brains. It wasn't that old. Like, I mean,
Oh
it was like fairly recent. You know what I mean?
wow.
It was like I would say last year. All black. Punk band. Top rap album. Maybe that'll give me something. But basically, what happened is like I guess like kind of like what happened with what's his name? Lil Nas 10. I'm not sure how to say it. Lil Nas X
Oh,
or
the Lil Nas X. I always
so.
crack Lil Nas.
I don't know how to say it, but you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm going for
Yes.
meaning, not for preciseness. Or at least that's what I tell people when I'm just like, dude, I mean, I've been saying coffee for the whole fucking podcast and stuff like that, and I want you to correct me. I don't want you. Well, I don't care. Anyways, but basically what happened is what the story was this punk band was just all black members, and what happened is instead of having like the top like rock or alternative or punk album, I don't know what the correct genre is for that. Instead of having that, they ended up putting them in the hip hop top charts or hip hop Billboard charts,
That's
and
ridiculous.
that's how they came that. And that came after Lil Nas 10, after he did like Old Town Road. And instead of, I don't think he got like the top country thing. I think he got the same thing happened with him where they put him in the in like the hip hop Billboard or something like that. Isn't that what happened? Am I making this up? Because I can't find the story. I
No,
must be
he,
making this fucking up.
because I know Lil Nas did like he hit some kind of charts and people were freaking the hell out because they didn't know what box to put him in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like a lot of like people will like. And that's the funny thing, dude. I was just talking about this to somebody else and I forgot who. So whoever you are out there, just remember I'm referencing this conversation, okay? But I like genre bending music. Like I don't know how to put that, but like rap rock, like what's their name? Shit. Slipknot does it every once in a while. Rage Against the Machine. There you go. Public Enemy. I like shit like that.
Yeah.
There's like a recent song that I it's called For the Gang, For the Gang, and I forgot who it was by, but they basically have that song's like, ah, oh, man, that's hard to put it. Hold on, let me just put it on my music player so I know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about. Because I usually just talk out of my ass. It's by 42 Doug and Roddy Ricch, which is a hip hop, which is funny because like I think you went into like the indie scene, and I was gonna get into like I went into like complete hip hop stuff like that. Like that's all I listen to these days.
Yeah.
But it has like an old school like rock song in the back, and they'll just like go ahead and rap over it. And I'm just like, oh, dude, this sounds like this shit. So if you get a chance to listen to For the Gang by 42 Doug and Rod Ritchie, dude, it sounds like really badass. But I like it when people will just like bleed like two genres together and come up with something like really great. I think there was like an Instagram star that did like a dance version of like a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, and dude, it was fucking dope as fuck. But it was just like, dude, like I don't know if I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers part more or if I like the dance part more, but it sounded dope as fuck. But that's just to say, like, dude, for a person that likes like really like genre bending or really like, I like it when people just try shit. Like, you know what I mean, try some crazy shit. But it doesn't seem like the industry, and I'm not a fucking music industry nerd or anything like that, but it doesn't feel like the industry, at least in recent days, like really wants to accept that or has any space for that on their Billboard charts or anything like that. What do you think about this? Do you have any opinion, or am I speaking out of my ass?
No, I don't think so. I think there's definitely some truth in that. The industry itself just, I guess, I think they probably see it as way too much work. As far as like doing that whole like trying to figure out, because I could imagine like there's like some kind of like pencil pusher out there like trying to figure out like, oh my God, does this belong in hip hop? Does this belong in alternative or indie? Like I can't decide type of shit. It's like I guess like just I guess in their method of or like in their way of like trying to avoid a headache that they're just like, no, we're not gonna change all this. Like we won't adapt or anything like that. And that definitely in the end of the day, it hurts the artists themselves because especially. Those who are coming from like the indie scene and all that kind of stuff where you really want to get your stuff out there, but it's very difficult to because the industry has such a death grip on everything.
Can I this is probably one of the last things I want to go over, and I want to get your thoughts on it. It still goes with music, but have you heard of like Billie Eilish, Charli XCX, and I think there's one more person.
So I've dabbled in a couple of Billie. Some of her music's pretty good. I don't think I've heard a bad song yet from her. But also, I haven't really gone out of my way to listen to it.
I'd say the same. I haven't gone out of my way to listen to Billie Eilish, but every song that I hear from Billie Eilish, or I guess her and her brother,
Yeah,
Phineas.
Phineas.
That guy's a musical fucking genius, dude. Like he does a lot of producing like on other people's stuff, and it's fucking crazy like what he's related to and stuff like that. And like the funny enough, like when they were first coming out, and I've heard stories about them, like about how they start their music. I think they used to just do it on their phone and stuff like that. And to do all of that, And it's fucking insane, dude. Like it's well, it's inspiring actually, because like anybody could, like literally anybody could just go ahead and take it off their phone. But one thing that I wanted to focus on specifically on Billie Eilish and Charli XCX, have you noticed that their songs are very short?
Like they're probably like less than 3 minutes, aren't they?
Like sometimes less than a minute. There's another person that I'm trying to look up here that does it like really short, where the songs are only like maybe a minute long. But what they'll do is they won't have an intro, they won't have an outro, and they'll just kind of like just rush into like a chorus, I guess you could say, type of point in the song. And that happens with a lot, not so much with Billie Eilish. Charli XCX is more, not, I wouldn't say guilty, but has popularized it. But from what I've heard on other podcasts that examine this, it's like made to go ahead and be repeatable for the current way we listen to music. So like Apple Music, Spotify, and stuff like that. So if you listen to it, you're gonna listen to it on a repeat. You know what I mean? Because you want to hear that kick, that hit, that chorus, and you're gonna hear it over again. What do you think about how streaming services have been changing music so for their replayability, rather than making like a whole song with like an intro, like a soft intro, a build up, a chorus, you know, a hook, you know what I mean? Like all of this intricacies, r rather than doing that, they'll just go ahead and to go straight to the chorus and stuff like that. Do you have any views on this, or can you add anything to it, if you don't mind?
That is a very interesting take. I never really noticed that until you brought it up, and it's just like, huh, now that it makes me want to like start paying a little bit more attention, especially when it comes to like track times, because it's just like, there is a like from what I've understood, there is like a formula to like di different types of formulas to, songwriting. You'll be like, okay, intro, verse, chorus, verse, bridge, then chorus and outro kind of thing. And so that being said, like it's a little, it is a little different. It is a little weird to, be able to notice that some of those
Well,
things
I
are
kind of found it
cut
myself, because
together.
there was this one artist, and I can't, it escapes me, but there's this like one song that I listened to, and it was like a very short song, like maybe about 57 seconds. And I found myself putting it on repeat, and I just asked myself, like, dude, why is this song so short? So I did my stupid independent research. Like, I mean, I became little detective, and I started looking up, like, hey, dude, like, why is this song so short? And I started going into a rabbit hole, but it was popularized by Charli XCX, and just like going straight in, dude. And Charli XCX is like one of the best pop singers, I gotta say. Like, dude, I still can't stop listening to a lot of her old albums, her new shit every time it comes out. She doesn't even come out with albums necessarily. She'll come out with like short releases and then build that up into an album. And she had been doing that for a while to build up hype for her whole album. And it's fucking insane. Like if you have time, and I'm not gonna get too much into it because I'm gonna get a lot of it wrong, but just if any of my listeners out there want to get into it, there's like plenty of stories about how Charli XCX has like by herself like changed the music industry and made it for like the modern era for streaming services like that, and then like making it more popularized, and that's how it's been going. But I find it very interesting, and I find it that I'm not sure if the music industry is necessarily going to be able to control what's going on and how it'll affect like our listening adventures in the future. 'Cause like, dude, there might be a time where you listen to like a 20-second like fucking AFI song, like, you know what I mean, if it gets popular enough. And I guess I want to get your take, 'cause just like, do you think that's a good thing, or would you say it's a bad thing? Like, what do you yeah.
So, I mean,
'Cause he
it
met
seems.
okay, think about it this. Think about it this way. Think of like Total Immortal, for example. Or yeah, Total Immortal. That's like one of my favorite songs. Like, oh, son, no, like get rid of all of that and just get like just nothing but the hook. Would that be okay with you? Like, is that okay with you?
I think at some point, me personally, because I just feel like I kind of need the whole thing. I don't, I it would be very difficult, which is going to be very weird to say because, coming from someone who like, really digs punk, and punk music is fast and quick, and sometimes like
I
they
mean,
follow
that's what I
that.
was about to say. Coming from somebody who listens to punk, and most songs are like maybe about a minute, minute and a half. Like, it was just like, oh, okay, we're going back to basics or what?
I guess it really does, because some genres can get away with it, I feel, but it's like at the end of the day, I kind of, the first thing that came to mind when you mentioned that was just like, what are our atten have our have our attention spans really like gone to shit to where we need only like maybe less than 2 minutes to like be able to digest a song and be like,
Yes.
oh, this is great.
Let me answer your question. Yes. 'Cause I like not a lot of things hold my attention. Like, okay, for example, The reason I slow down so much is because I find myself just like constantly losing attention of things that I have in my regular life. Like, let's say I wanted to play a video game right now. Do you know how long it'll take me to settle into? And the last time we were messaging, I was playing Destiny, right? Do you know how long it took me to start playing Destiny before I actually did that? Like, I had to like get some water, and I was just like, I don't know if I really want to start this mission yet. I'm gonna sit in my bed and just read a few articles, and then I was just like, dude, like half an hour later, my console's still on. It was like I still haven't played anything yet. I was like, oh man, fuck, what was I doing again? Like, you know what I mean? That's me. Like, I just really delay everything that I have to do. When I watch a movie, I'm just like, I don't know, man. This is kind of like an investment. How long is it? Fucking 2 hours. Holy shit, dude. I don't know, man. I could just like
Yeah.
relook.
Damn. So I mean that it can go both ways, like really depends on the situation. It could be a good thing or a bad thing at that
I
point.
just happen to be very cognizant of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know exactly what I'm gonna get into. Like, I mean, the last movie I watched was pretty like recent. It was called Cry Macho, and it's like a 2 hour movie, but it's also a Clint Eastwood movie, and I'm not gonna fucking like pull out my phone for a fucking Clint Eastwood movie. Like, you know what I mean? I'm also like a sucker for Western, so like, yeah, I mean, there's the ability and the capacity, but I mean, do you find yourself like having a lack of attention span with some things? Like you have to, at least in the morning, or in the present tense, in the
I
present
yeah,
state, sorry.
actually I can definitely say that I have caught myself in situations like those because I mean I don't even know if I can call myself a movie buff anymore because I think like for the past for like maybe a good long while like I've accumulated such a big movie collection and nowadays it's like even when I sit there on my streaming service whether it's Netflix, HBO or Amazon I'm just like I'm scrolling through trying to find a movie and I'm just like I keep thinking like, is this gonna catch my attention for an entire like 3 hours? Because I'm not gonna get those 2.5 hours back, And it's I start thinking of all this like all this kind of
Like
like noise.
analysis paralysis, because there's too much choice. Like, there's literally too much choice. Whereas, like, when we were kids, like, dude, if you didn't get the movie that you wanted at fucking Hollywood Video or Blockbuster, bro, like, it's
It's a
still
wrap.
there. You're gonna watch it, dude. Like, there's nothing else to watch. Your mom only gave you one fucking rental, maybe two, if you were fucking lucky, or if you had like that deal thing. But fuck, dude, that's like kind of an investment. And then I find myself and. A lot of the old movies that I watched, I was just like, dude, I'm not into this. Like, I'm just like not into this, but I have nothing else to watch. I just want to watch the rest of this. And then I'm just like, why the fuck did I watch that whole fucking movie? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what? This was so fucking pointless. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we had, do you, would you say it's more of analysis paralysis that I'm saying, or was it because of lack of choice back in the day? What would you say it is more?
I think there's like a balance between the two, but I think it leans more towards the latter that you were saying, because I mean, even like the access to so much titles can attribute to all that kind of stuff.
And I guess that's what kind of attributes to like a lack of attention span, because there is like a lot of choices, dude. Like, hey, dude, if you didn't know about anything that I'm speaking about right now, any of my listeners or even you, dude, you could just get on your phone and then start going into a deep rabbit hole, and then all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, dude, I'm into Charli XCX. Hey, you know what? I think I like JoJo Siwa now. I'm a pophead now. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like all I do is listen to fucking like. People in their mid-20s sing pop songs, and I'm into it, by the way. I'm really I like a lot of pop music, and I have no qualms with that. But anyways,
Oh, no, definitely.
but yeah, like, I mean, that's basically, but and then like our lack of attention causes us to just like, and then I guess the way the industry is inclined to go ahead and have music played, it causes it to have like more plays than actually listening to the song in its entirety. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I got into a hole, and I don't know where I got out of. But yeah, I don't know. Did you want to go anywhere else from here, or did you have anything else to add?
I mean, not really. I mean, I feel like that was that I really enjoyed this that aspect of the conversation when it comes to music because there's a lot of things that I didn't even know until you brought up that now it's gotten my attention a little bit. And it's like, you know what? Post interview, I'm gonna go ahead and see. I'm gonna do a little digging myself and maybe fall into a cold rabbit hole because I mean, you made a lot of good points.
If you want to get into this, like if you want to get into this like really deeply, just check out Song Exploder. They also have a Netflix series too. Specifically the one with Phineas and Charli XCX, they really get into deep dives exactly what I'm talking about. Song Exploder is by Hrishikesh Hirway. Don't ask me how to spell it because it's really hard. It really is hard. But if I've seen anybody dedicated to the actual decomposition, and by the way, Song Exploder is a music podcast where they take pretty cool songs or pretty popular or pretty aged songs. Like they did one off of Go Your Own Way. I don't know, the one by Stevie Nicks. No,
Yeah.
it's with the one. Yeah, they did a deep dive on that one. And basically, what they'll do is they'll take each part of the song, break it down, and then tell you what each thing meant to the artist. And he's interviewing the artist or somebody involved with it. And they'll tell you how they got into it. Specifically, the ones with Charli XCX and Finneas get really deep into the modern pop era and how it's changing the music industry. So if you wanted to start somewhere and then just go crazy, like I have for the past, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years since those episodes came out, I would start there for sure.
Oh, wow, great. Awesome.
And of course, they have a Netflix series, and I think one of the episodes is with Alicia Keys. By the way, Alicia Keys, oh my God, just that voice, dude. Oh my gosh, dude, I just cannot get over it, dude. Oh man. Anyways, there's a lot of stuff to go into, but I would say Song Exploder is probably one of the best ones where it's just like really big, and it's not limited to a genre either. They do like punk songs, they do rock songs, they do all sorts of shit. So that's what I like about it too, man. But yeah.
Oh, wow, that's great. Okay.
So hopefully that was some food for thought. Once again, I do thank you, Michael, for Michael Torres for coming on to my podcast and indulging my insanity for just a little bit. But I really thank you for your time and patience. And yeah, I'll definitely let you know when I post this up. All right.
Definitely. And once again, thank you for having me. That was really a great conversation. I really enjoyed it a lot. Excellent points. And it's given me a lot to think about as far as checking out my own research on certain things that you brought up. And that's really refreshing.
It's because like I get really frustrated with not knowing anything, so I have to know stuff, and there's nothing that'll stop me from attaining that knowledge. Like I don't know, I'm just like I don't know, I suffer from both like a curious wonder of how things work and analysis paralysis, and right in between there is like right where I live, like at all times. And I don't know, I guess this is just a scope into how my mind works, but yeah.
Huh.
If you guys have a chance, just go on to your podcast player, share it. Audio Syncratica. If you want to reach out to me, there's a link directly to this where you can support my page, or excuse me, support my podcast, or share the podcast. And remember, you could just listen it to Audio Syncratica at your podcast player of choice. It's on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, if that's still a thing. I hope it's still a thing. I think it's still a thing.
Yeah.
And you could also listen to it on Spotify. Spotify is probably like the preference, but yeah, I really appreciate it, man. You have yourself a good day, okay?
Absolutely. You as well. Thank you.
Let's just stay weird.